Away my ears. people and God. But when a person who has a loving parent, be it both or one, or someone who was in their lives as a responsible guardian, and they really take care of them and see to their needs, it only closes and closer or bond the relationship that they will establish with God later or for themselves even better. Because in their mind, they know, if my parent can do or my guardian can do all that they've done for me, how much more will God do for me who loved me, who created me with purpose? I'm convinced. I read it for my one self in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give, not the loan, not the barter, but to give you an expected end. Wow. That's some type of God, y'all. That's some type of God. To give you an expected end. That means for some of us, we haven't even really seen all that God wants to give us yet. I know you may have some things that's given. You may have been popular. You may have been this, that, or the other. But I got news for you. You're still living. That means you still got purpose. So God's plan for you is not done yet. So the best is yet to still come. Oh, yeah. I'm reminded of the story of Abraham. When he was just Abram was told to leave his father's house. Just Abram was told to change. And at age 75, Abram changed. And he began to obey God, not knowing how tomorrow was going to end. Many of us, we want to know, well, what about this? What about that? We get to questioning God. Well, Lord, what if we get stuck in that questioning mode, not questioning how can we accomplish it, but questioning as if, Lord, you got to show me all of it right now. Let's face it. Some things, in order to attain it, we'll run from it if we knew all the struggle that it was going to take to get it. We'll abort it. That's right. I use the word abort. That's to kill even before it had a chance to live. We will abort the plan of God for our life when we knew all that we had to go through. It's amazing. Sometimes we take the long way around in a journey, not because it wasn't available, but because our mindset wasn't there to handle it. The children of Israel being set free from Egypt, their true journey would have took them literally 40 days. Yeah, but it took them 40 years. It proposes a question. Have I prolonged God's vision for me? Have I prolonged the destiny that God had purposed for me, the land flowing of milk and honey, the land where I can worship him? And that land is a place. That land is a peace. That land is purpose. Have I delayed the things of God in my life because of my mindset? I want you to focus on this word today, Y-E-S. that word. I want you to focus on it. I'm going to say it again. I spelled it. Y-E-S. Yes. I want you today to give God a fresh yes. Maybe you told him yes last year, but I want you to tell him yes for today. I don't want you to walk around in 2022 with a 2020 calendar thinking that the calendar had good information in it, not realizing that was for a time past. I want you to give God a fresh yes for today. I want you to tell God, yes, Lord, yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. That is a powerful, powerful word. It will release for you so many things that God has in store for you, planned for you. It will release for you the vision for your family, the vision for your business, the vision for the ministry that God has given you. Tell God yes. In Church of God in Christ, we, Dad Mason and the old earlier saints were singing a song, Yes, Lord. And people all over were gathered just to hear that song, Yes, Lord. And I want you to develop that in your spirit today of being able just to tell God yes. Because it's so important that we understand God never tells us or inquire us to do what he has not equipped us to do. So saying yes, God, is a powerful thing. And so let's develop that yes, Lord. Let's get up in the morning saying yes, God. Say, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I choose, I choose, I choose, I choose, I choose, I choose, I choose to be glad in it and rejoice in it because you've given it to me. You've given it to me, so this is what you have prepared for me. So I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, because you love me, and I know that you love me. And so because I know that you love me, I'm going to say yes. Yes, God. Yes, God, yes. Yes to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you, yes to leaving my life in your hands. Yeah, I know I got plans, but God, your plans are better. I know I have desires, but your word says if I would delight myself in you, you'll grant me the desires of my heart. Amen, somebody. There's a song by Brian Courtney Wilson, and he says, yeah, let's join in this song together. I want you to just hear his words and just let that yes marinate in your spirit.
You lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means to me. If it's like you gain, if that's my own, I'm trusting you to hear my end and lead me on. Yes, Lord.
Do your life truly belong to God? Have you truly committed to him? Then tell him yes.
It's like you.
There's peace when you say yes. Hallelujah. Can you trust God enough to say yes? Can you really trust God to say yes? Do you trust God with your life? Have you submitted your life to Him? Then you owe Him not just any yes, but a fresh yes. Amen, somebody. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours. Do your life belong to God? Have you committed your life to Him? Have you surrendered yourself truly to God? When was the last time you said yes to Him? If it's been a moment, practice it right now. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of the heartache. Let go of the past disappointment. Let go of the failures of yesterday. And I know so many times we are hurting on the inside. And sometimes we get into a routine and it become mundane from us that it's the same routine. I trust that God to change it. Seems like it's the same thing, but I dare you today, right now, this very moment, just to say yes to God. Let go of all hurt. Let it go. Let go of your disappointment. Let go, let go, and let God put peace inside of you. Peace belongs to you as a believer. Jehovah Shalom is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our Keeper. The peace of God don't come just because everything is quiet and working well. No, the peace of God is yours in the midst of the raging sea. And I'm reminded of the story of the disciples where they was got in the ship and Jesus got in the ship and went down to the lower part and went to sleep. He said, let us go to the other side. And he's already spoken what they were going to do. And they was on the sea and the sea storm came and started raging and they got fearful and got afraid, thinking that the water was going to overtake the ship, that they might end up having a shipwreck because of the storm. And Jesus, they went and woke him up. Jesus, Jesus, we perish. They're afraid. And he had already spoken to them that they were going on the other side, that there was purpose for them on the other side. And that's what I'm trying to tell somebody this evening, that there's purpose on your other side of your pain, the other side of your failure, the other side of the things that made you want to quit, the other side of the past broken relationship. There's something, there's a purpose, there's a charge of God for you to live out the destiny that God has for you, and it's on the other side, and you can't allow the storm to stop you. And the peace of God is in your yes. And when you give God that yes, the peace comes in the midst of the storm. And they pray. They inquire of Christ. And he simply asked them, where was their faith? He told them they had little to none because they didn't believe in what he said. Atmosphere. Peace. Be still. And they began to question, what manner of man is this? That even the storm and the wind, the elements obey him. He's the original creator. He's God. And when you have placed your life in his hand, there's no greater hand. We used to say this phrase, one of those phrases when people say, "How you doing?" and they say, "Well, if I had your hand, I'd throw mine in." Glory to God. In other words, when you realize that God got the best hand, he got the full house, the royal flush, he is the hand to play. We just love to play spades, and every now and then, and the cards are flowing such a way that it seems like one person get all the spades, and they'll tell you, say, well, Well, if you got all of that, run a dime then. That's saying you got 10 books. There ain't no money on the table, nothing like that. It's just playing the game. But all of those that think playing cards is wrong, that's all right. God will deliver you. Amen. And you say, well, run a dime then since you got all of that. And they'll say, well, give me my dime. They know that's 100 points on the board. And all you got to do is play. Your partner ain't got to try to make nothing happen because you got all the spades. All they got to do is just follow your lead. They ain't got to ask what's coming next because you already got it. That's what God is. He that dime hand. He got all the plays. All you got to do is follow his lead and watch him work it out for you. Somebody joined in and said, what kind of show is this? This is Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, in the great U.S. of A. Hey, we're coming to you live. We want you to know that Jesus saves, and he wants you to live. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly. Well, my, once again, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. This is a true word of faith experience. Amen. True word of faith experience. That's right. You want to put God's word to test. Amen. To the test. If it can't be tested, then something is wrong. Amen. But it can be tested. It's improving itself. People have challenged the Bible long since before we got here. Amen. And they're going to keep on challenging the Bible. But one thing about it, those that trust in it, those that rely upon it, that the Word of God always reveals itself in a positive and fulfilling way to those that have learned to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let me look on here and see who all we have on the line this evening. God bless you once again, each of you in your respective places. Amen. I want to say good evening to the Six Eyes Motivational Team and all of those that have always joined in and followed us very well. Want to say good evening. Amen. I hope you are enjoying what has transpired thus far. And if not, hold on in there with us just a little while longer. Maybe I say something that I light the fire of God up under you. Maybe I say something to encourage your heart that better days are coming, greater days are coming for you. So hold on.
Amen.
Hold on. Amen. I think I heard Sister Ruth's voice. God bless the daughter
of the
Most
High
God. That's
me. Yeah, I just wanted to praise the Lord. And we have a wonderful summer here, and just praise the Lord for what he's doing and continue to pray for me. It's an unspoken.
Amen. Amen. It is a great blessing to hear your voice. I'm often praying for you. And I just want to believe God to give you total victory in your life. Now, whatever that
means.
Amen,
I'll take that.
Amen, total victory. I mean, just total victory. Because sometimes in life, we know that, number one, some of our battlefields are the battlefields of our own mind. Yeah, we got the devil to contend with.
You guys still there?
But
hello?
we got to know that the first battle is the battlefield of the mind. That's why the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you."
Everybody
that was also
all right?
In Christ Jesus. Amen. We all right. Can you hear very well?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And before he goes and sings his song, I'm going to beat him to the punch. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and giving me each day. And just want to say thank the Lord for every day that he gives me and the chance to tell the world about him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Are you able to hear me, K. Missionary Ken? Seemed like we had a drop signal.
Fine.
Oh, okay, okay. Seemed like it. Amen.
Okay,
thank
Ken?
You, Lord. There we go. There we go. Looked like the board had dropped, but I guess they
everything
picked back
right?
up. Amen. Everything is well. All is well with me in my spirit, in my health. All is well. God is good. My testimony is I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. Amen. It was on Jesus then, and it's on Jesus now. Amen. God has blessed me with an opportunity to work, to build a business, and I'm thankful. My family members are here. They're alive. May not all be in the best of health, but they are here. And that means for me that God has opportunity to completely heal them where they're hurting. Amen. And so I trust God to do what he does. Amen. It's a blessing that when you understand all you have to be concerned with is the load that God gave you, and the load that he gave you, you have the strength to carry it even though you may feel tired. It sounds strange to somebody, but I want you to know God bless your sister Emily. Whatever you're dealing with, God is giving you strength to win, strength to accomplish what you're to accomplish. God loves you just
hey.
That much. Amen. Come on,
hey,
sister Emily.
When
yes,
you was sitting there doing testimony, I was in here laying on a heating pad.
Uh-huh.
You know, I got to thank God because right now with what's wrong with my back,
uh-huh,
God's still giving me the strength to get up and take care of four cats. And myself.
All right, now. All right. Them cats need somebody. Amen.
Yeah, and I was also asked to just give a little testimony for my mother because she's not really feeling so good tonight. She said,
okay.
You know, I wrote down had the nurse write it down pretty big for her to see it.
Okay.
She's been going online listening to all our shows on our broadcasts every day. And she
oh, wow.
said to tell you that she thanks God for you.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we thank God for her. Amen.
Yeah,
thank
my
God
mother
that.
Just turned 76. February 28th.
Amen. That's all right.
But
amen.
I know one thing. Don't ever tell your mama she won't dare because then your mommy's going to prove you wrong.
Yeah. I learned that lesson a long time ago with my mom. So.
I still
amen.
Try it, but it never works. I even try with my dear dad, but I also know how far to take it with him, too.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And I know he listens to all our broadcasts, and 10-1 he's on tonight. I
uh-huh.
just wanted to also thank God that I've got, even though he's only my stepdad, he's more of a dad in my life than my own father. My biological father has not been in my life since 2001.
Wow.
And I thank God for my ex-stepdad. He's been more of a dad to me than my
Amen.
Own father.
Amen. God knows how to send people in our lives that we need to encourage us, to help us, to propel us, to help us build relations with. And we thank God for it. The presence
yeah,
of God,
I thank
you know,
God
we,
for my... For Dad, because if it wasn't for Dad, his housing at risk last winter, me and these babies would have been out on the streets in the dead of the cold.
Mm.
And
yeah.
he put his housing at risk last year to keep us in out of the cold.
Amen. Amen.
And
well, we
I will never tell him again in the middle of winter that I'm going to come get a tent and go camp out and make a fire to keep warm.
Yeah,
I know not to
do
that no more because I got the full name thing and I was like, I ain't doing that again.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to tell Ken come and and play there's a scene in a movie called Misery.
Don't you even get Mr. King going. He get enough of ideas on his own, okay?
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say to him. I'm gonna say, Ken, it's time for you to play the scene for Misery.
You got a grin at that one, Dad. Here he is.
Kid, you ain't got to break an ankle, but put some shackles on it. All right. We're going to take a commercial here. Amen.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Hi, I'm a Christian.
And I'm a Christian, too.
You know, in order to influence the world, we have to learn how to connect with them.
Oh, that's great. You know, I can connect. I'm bilingual.
Wow, you speak two languages.
Yeah, I speak English and Christianese.
Chinese, that's cool.
No, not Chinese, Christianese.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
That's because they don't teach it in school.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. Can you give me an example?
Well, I'd love to, but in order to show you how, I'd have to have someone here.
Well, that's great. Meet my friend Lauren.
Oh, you brought a friend.
Yeah.
That's great. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You need to get saved.
Saved from what?
Alright, what I'm trying to say is you need to be born again.
So are you talking about, like, reincarnation or...
Look, if you don't get set, or if you're not born, look, you just have to turn or burn, okay? Turn or burn.
Look, what my friend's trying to say is, Jesus wants to have a real relationship with you and be a part of your life.
Oh, I get it.
See? I told you everyone understood Christianese.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? or the ministries. These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan. A simple plan to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen. You are favored of God. Amen. Know that in your spirit that God has favored you. How do you know that God has favored you? Because he loves you. And, you know, I found out a long time ago that favor is not fair, but it has purpose. Amen. And today the favor of God may be here, may be there. Your favor for certain things or certain people may be with this person one moment, that person another moment, and certainly the favor of God. That's what God chooses to use, what God chooses to elevate, what God chooses to highlight. That's the favor of God. The devil was reading your Bible and thing that moment caught your eye, you got your highlighter and you highlighted. Well, that scripture just caught favor with you. It caught your attention. And sometimes you can praise God to a point where you catch his attention. Amen, somebody. The Bible said that God inhabits the praises of his people.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love ya. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
Amen. Once you're being safe out there, and speaking of safe, we're still broadcasting the point of frequently washing of your hands. Amen. Using hand sanitizer when you have it available and you're touching a lot of things. You're going out shopping, touching this and touching that. It's just good to have these things available if you have them. Sanitize or disinfect the wipes that you can carry with you. So if you're grabbing shopping carts and different things, you are able to wipe them down, and we want you to stay safe. We know the summer's here and people are doing vacationing and so many other things. And so still at the end of the day, we want you to be safe and trust God for the rest. You do your part and God will do the rest. Pastor Carr is going to have a wonderful song here. Let's enjoy her. It's featuring Thank you. Wonderful to know God tells us that we are his own. Amen. We're not just outcasts. We're not forgotten. We're his own. Amen. He loves us. He cares for us. He's concerned about us. Hey, we belong to him. It's amazing. If you have ownership, let's take the owner of apartment complex or a home that's being rented out. There are certain things that the owner is responsible for. The owner is not responsible for the day-to-day cleaning and upkeep. But should there be structural damage, faulty wiring, damages that have occurred, be it through the weather or outside forces, you know, people have jumped the curve, homes that's in a curve, and people have missed the curve and run into it. There are certain things that the owner is responsible for repairing and taking care of. But then it's a shared responsibility because the cleaning and regular furnishing of that home, the renter's responsibility, those that's living there. And so if we consider our bodies as something that God has loaned us for a little while, yeah, just consider it. The body that we have is not ours. It's on loan. And perhaps God is looking at how we upkeep or keep up his property. Kirk Franklin said God's property, talking about us. We're God's property. So how are we keeping God's property? Wow. How are we keeping it? Are we keeping it well, or are we letting it run down? The importance of a daily devotion. That's the importance of relationship. That's the importance of coming together with those of like faith and putting one another in remembrance of the things that God has promised, that God has said. So there's a whole gamut of things to do. You know, those of us that own our home and break, we're responsible. If a receptacle go out, well, I'm the homeowner. It's up to me to fix it or to have it fixed. You know, everybody's not electrical inclined or have certain maintenance skills available to them. So when that happens, is their responsibility to get adequate help to repair or to fix that which is broken. And so God know how to fix us when we're broken, because he's the greatest electrician. Matter of fact, it's him who gave the very sense of positive and negative, ions, and all of those things that make up electricity. It is him that has put that thing in order. And I said it was just like I understand. He put that thing in order. The nature of electricity, that's him. So he understands that. The nature of our bodies, even though sometimes we may have chemical imbalances, we may have certain birth defects, he still knows. He knows just how he allowed it to arrive on the scene. And so he is able to take care of it. Amen. On tonight, we want to talk for a moment. I was going to delay this message because in the Bloodhound of Scripture that was given out on Sunday by Missionary Ken, it actually covered in this particular teaching. And so I was going to forego it. But what I will do, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach it, but instead of using the King James Version, I'm going to use the New Living, and just hopefully, or maybe if you paid attention to it, you will hear it in the text. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but you will hear it in the text. Now, so let's do this. We're going to take it from the top. The question that's going to be answered is concerning tithing. And it is tithing under the law? And if it is, do we still need to tithe? Or should we tithe? And people have asked that question. I heard many, many teaching over the years about this. And so let's see what does the Word of God say concerning tithe. Well, we go to the original, what most people know, and that is in Malachi 3. Now, one of my favorite verses is not Malachi 3:8, which we're going to read, but it's really Malachi 3:11. But, and I share with you my point of view on that, my take personally. Now, again, I'm reading the New Living Translation. So it may not sound like your preacher, or it may do, depending on what version he teaches from, or see. So, Malachi 3, verse 8, it reads in the New Living Translation, should people cheat, C-H-E-A-T, God, question mark. Should, now it follows and says, yet you have cheated me, exclamation point. But you ask, comma, what do you mean, question mark. When did we ever cheat you, speaking about God? So that's a very good question that in this writer here, we see this is proposed to us, that this group of people, this nation is told that perhaps they wasn't fair or behaving as God would want them to behave in a certain matter of giving. And they asked the question, when did we ever teach you? So it goes on and says, you have cheated me of the tithes and offering due to me. We all that pay bills understand that word due. You got a cable bill, you got it's due. You got a cell phone, there's a due date. You got utility bills, there's a due date. You have rent or mortgage, there's a due date. Car note, there's due. There's something that is required from you. So he says, you have cheated me of the tithe and offering due to me. So he follows up and says, you are under a curse. Now, to make this sense, what happens when your due date comes and you say, I want to pay the utility bill right now? And the due date comes and you decide not to pay it. Well, now you're under what's going to be called a cutoff notice. Now, that's not a blessing. That's the opposite of it. So the notice gives you a space and time. And so it says to you the benefit that was afforded to you for meeting deadline or a due time or giving what was due or required, continued you in your utilities, your lights, your water, your gas, whatever. And so since you don't want to do that, then some benefits that you was utilizing, now they're going to be taken away. Okay. So he says, you're under a curse. For your whole nation, not just you, not just your house, but your nation has cheated me. Wow. Could it be? It's just me asking a question. You don't have to answer it. It's just food for thought. Could it be some things that's happening in the world today, some cause cheated God out of what's due to him? Now, that list of what's due to him can be a long list. And we might get into it, we might not. Let's keep going. He says, verse 10, bring all the tithes, the tithes, that word has to be defined. Tithes is defined by the word tenth. Tenth. Bring a tenth. So that means it is the one thing that has a equality on it, that it doesn't matter whether you black, white, red, or yellow, young, old, rich, or healthy, unhealthy, and that list goes on. It is the same for everyone. It is relevant to your position. Stay in the county, the suburbs, as you would of the city. I'm not in the inner city. So there are certain things that the inner city has to pay for and that I don't. But because I'm in the suburbs, because I'm in the county part, there are certain things that I have to pay that they don't. And they may have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in the city. And they bill may be one amount. But because where I stay, my bill may be a higher amount, not because I'm any better, but because of the position in where it is at. Nevertheless, all of us that own land, until the deed is paid, there's a debt that is owed. So it's the same. It is relevant to what's going on. So the tithe is a tenth to you. Case in point, if you have $1, this says 10 cents belong to the Lord. Now, let me pause right there. I've talked on this understanding a while ago several times on this broadcast and preached it as well. The Bible said that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. So let me be clear. If you have a dollar, 100% of that dollar belongs to God. That's the truth. Because you can't have nothing that's not his. Everything that you have was already here. Money was already in the land. Gold, silver, whatever we use for trade was already here. So it belongs to God. So our possession of it is only because he's allowed it. So when Adam was put in the garden, Adam didn't have to plant seeds. Everything was already planted. It was already there. Adam didn't have to create nothing. It was already done. So let's be very, very clear when it comes down to what you possess or own. You yourself, me, myself, we are the possession of God. And if we own anything and he owns us, what we own, he owns. To all of those that play with toys when you grew up, dolls and everything, you think about the clothes that Ken and the Barbie doll wore. The person that was playing with it had the same ownership. That might have been Ken's clothing, but you think about the little boys that come and separate the heads from one doll and put it on the other and being mean to their sister. All of it still belongs to the doll, no matter where it's at. It still belongs. So playing cowboys and Indians and different things of that nature, and it is what it is now. Well, however you play with your toys, your little soldier toys, your little G.I. Joe things, your little Hot Wheels cars, all of that still was in the possession of the kid that's playing, but the parents bought the toys. So the parents had the authority to say to the child, put your toys away. Oh, Mom, put it up. Time out. Because the child belongs to the parent. So I want to make it very clear. If we ever get past that thought of what's mine, we'll get past the thought of tithes and offering, and we can appreciate it for what it truly is. It is God teaching us not just to share. It's God teaching us how to live. And so good parents taught their children how to share their toys. But when you're the only child, you can inherit, that means unaware, you can have a habit of stinginess because you didn't have to share. And so you have your little play date over and somebody say, oh, this is my teacup today. And you're like, no, that's mine. Well, calm down. And so we have to understand that we're in this world together. And one of the things we have to learn is how to truly share. So I'm going to move past that. Ten, again, he said bring. So bring is a positioning of you doing something. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, say the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. So if I ensure that there are wherewithal in the house of God, he says he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out aid. It was amazing. You think about something flooding, and you got to open up the doors and windows, and it just overflows out. But it's one thing. Yeah, I pull you out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. A lot of people question that particular thing, because they are focused on the monetary. And it says, pull you out a blessing. The blessing is something that's pronounced to you that wasn't there for you before. So the blessing is the acknowledgement and the pronouncing of things to come, to be. And so he says, there's not going to be enough room to take it in. Try it. Exclamation point. Now, this is the first time I actually read it from the New Living, because I grew up traditionally reading from the King James. Yeah, I don't think I read it in the New Living. I read it in the NIV, but not the New Living. Yeah, and so he says, try it. Try. In other words, test it. Prove it. Put me to the test. exclamation point. So many times it is like going into the kitchen cooking and you saying, well, I'm trying to make this like grandmama used to make it. Well, do you have everything grandmama had? And are you using the same measurement that grandmama measured with, or the system of measurement? Well, I use this one. No, you're trying to do it like grandmama did it. Then number one, do you really know how grandmama did it? Well, I thought, no. It's not about what you thought. Well, I read, no, it's not. Did you talk to grandmama? And did grandmama tell you what she did? And then if you did have that conversation, then do it just like one of our biggest problems is following instructions, then complaining about the results. If God say do it this way, and we did it that way, and we don't get what he said we should have, it is not his fault, ours. So we got to do it exactly the way he said so that we have tried it. So one of the things you do in the kitchen is, You tell somebody who done tasted grandmama cooking and say, hey, taste this. Is this right? Or if grandmama's still there, you say, grandmama, taste it. And she said, it needs that salt in it. But I only put, but now you put just a little too bit, but just a little, but it's still just a little too much. And we get upset. But if she said you put too much in it, the thing we have to do is self-adjustment, course adjustment. The next time we do it, we'll be mindful of what we overdid and try not to do it again. And that's part of the process of obeying God. We're not always going to get it right. And don't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's bad. And our thing is, we can't condemn one another just because you didn't dot every I and cross every T. Because we don't. We make mistakes. But that's what grace is for. Grace is there to help carry us along. But let me keep on in the text. So he says, put me to the test. Verse 11, it says, your crop will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and diseases. I want to stop right there. Your crop, your harvest. Well, preacher, I'm not a farmer. Do you have children? Yes. That's your crop. Do you have a business? Yes. That's your crop. These are things that you have sowed your seed, your time into. See, do you have a marriage? Yes. That's your crop. Your crop will be abundant. When we focus on doing things God's way, the way he say do it, he put a promise in there for us that our crop will be abundant. Abundant goes beyond just meeting the need. Abundance speaks to overflow. Abundance speaks to the ability to assist others. Abundance. A little boy had a Happy Meal, two little fishes, five loaves of bread, and Christ blessed it, and abundantly he fed 5,000 and still had leftovers. That's abundant. Keep on moving. Your will be abundant, for I will guard. This is the key word there, I will guard. And the Old Testament says, except the Lord watch the city, the watchman watches in vain. No matter how much you're trying to make sure everything happened right, there's some things that are going to get by you. But what cannot happen is nothing can get by God. I'm reminded of Job. Job said, the devil told God, God said, how you consider my servant Job? Job, like, the devil's like, have I considered him? Man, I can't even get close to talking about. Consider him? Man, come on. All of that hedge of protection you got around him? In other words, yeah, I thought about him. But the guards are all around him. I can't even get close. See, that's guarded. And what did Job do? Job not only gave offering for himself, but Job will offer sacrifices for his children. They did something towards God in their heart. So Job was even covering his children. Doesn't speak to what they was doing, but it speaks to the commitment that Job had for his children. And the devil testified that I can't even get close. So that's what that guard means. So he said, for I will guard them from insects and diseases. Wow. Insects are the thing that comes and eats small portions away. Diseases are micro elements that can't be seen that cause it to deteriorate before its time. So he said, I'm going to cover the seen and unseen. Because there's some things that we don't see about the happen that are happening, cover the seen and unseen. The insects is what you see. The disease is what you don't see, but you feel the effect. Your grapes will not. Your grapes. Grapes is that harvest. Grapes is the stuff that you have planted and the fruit of it. Your grapes will not fall from the vine, for they are ripe. That means God got it covered. That means nothing going to happen before the time is allotted. For everything under the sun, there's a time and a season. It was time to plant. It was time to pluck up that which was planted. So here's the covering. Just the whole instructions of it, okay? Now, I know, I hear you, but that's the Old Testament preacher. Thank you. I realize that. But I had to give the foundation. And really, it's not the first foundation. This was just the basis. Because for the most part, those that really preach is tired, that's the primary verse that is used. But let us go to the book of Hebrews. He went Hebrews, you know, this is that coffee. Hebrews chapter 7. Yeah. Let's see what kind of time I got. All right. Got a little time left. May not be able to get into this the way I want to, so I probably need to read it straight through and then come back and elaborate. Again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 7. And we're just going to start in verse 1, okay? We'll keep it in context. The Bible says, this Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. So he wasn't just any priest. He was priest of God, capital G-O-D. Most High signifies Jehovah or Yahweh. It signifies that he was a priest of the Almighty God. Okay? Now, Melchizedek was not a Jew. We'll go on to that. Now, this Melchizedek, king, and also a priest of God Most High, when Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, but he fought other kings and he won, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then, in other words, Melchizedek met him and spoke well into his life, or wellness, or well-being. He pronounced a blessing in his life. He released something. Okay? Then Abram took a tenth, that's the tithe, of all he had captured in battle. That meant battle was the work. It was the deed that was done, and what he captured was considered spoil of war. So the things that he inherited from the war, or he gathered from doing that deed, but the tenth of all that he had captured in battle, and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means, so this whole verse on self-explain some things, so let's follow. The name Melchizedek means King of Justice, and King of Solomon means King of Peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors. No beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Christ is our priest forever. He's our high priest forever. Melchizedek is a priest of God forever. That's what it says. Considering now how great this Melchizedek was, even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel. Let's see. So the covenant came through Abraham, not through Moses. Through Moses came the law. But the covenant what connected the people to God came through Abraham. So let me keep on. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now, the law of Moses required that the priests who are descendants of Levi, pay attention, there are 12 tribes of Israel, and the tribe of Levi, by Moses' instructions under the law, was those who was commanded to collect tithes from the people. It's going to say all that. Let me keep reading. Who are descendants of Levi must collect the tithes from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. Okay? Okay, here we go. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tithe from Abraham, and Melchizedek placed a blessing on Abraham, the one who already received the promise of God, and without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed by it. Okay? The priests who collect tithes are men who die. So all of the tribe of Levi that are collecting tithes, they are men that die. So Melchizedek is greater than they are because we are told that he lives on. In addition to, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid it and the tithe to him. Although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. Verse 11. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection of God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it. For the priest we are talking about belong to a different tribe. Melchizedek belonged to a different tribe. I mean, he was not a part of the tribe of Israel. Okay, whose members have never served at the altar as priests. Okay, so different tribe. So we know Levite was a tribe that was supposed to be at the altar to serve. But now we're getting ready to talk about Christ, who is not under the Levite. And we'll see that in a second. So it says again, that last part of it says, whose members have never served at the altar as priests. What I mean is our Lord came from the tribe of Judah. You search the genealogy, and that's why it's so good that we get it in the gospel. We get it read backwards to us from that point to the beginning, and then we got it read from the beginning to the end, so that it will affirm to us what tribe he came from under. Okay? So our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. Jesus is like Melchizedek, okay? So verse 15 says, this change has been made very clear since a different priest who is like Melchizedek has appeared. Jesus became a priest not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to a tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied. Okay? Just back in Psalms. So he pointed this out. You are, speaking of Christ, David speaking of Christ, that you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law never made anything perfect. And that's why legalistic people, those that deal with the legalistic, yeah, to obey him. For the law, never. Not then, not now. For the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath, sacred. Aaron's descendant became priest without an oath. That means they didn't have to make a decision. They was automatically, because of what line they is, what their bloodline was, who their daddy was. You know, so they didn't have to make an oath to God. It was automatically because of their daddy, the family they came in, they had to continue the family line. Okay? Verse 21, but there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said unto him, the Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guaranteed a better covenant with God. We could almost stop right there, because this means so much more than tithe and offering. This is our assurance, those of us that are following Christ. It says, because of this oath, God the Father making about Christ, Jesus is the one, not a one. There's no other. He is the one who guarantees, not just promise. I can promise you something, but so my limitations, I can be overwhelmed and not able to guarantee it. But nothing can overwhelm him, so he can guarantee. So he guarantees a better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system of death, preventing them from remaining in office. There were many priests of Levi, but they couldn't stay in office because death separated them. Okay? So the priesthood of Levi ended for each one of them that was a priest when they died. Okay? For death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lived forever, here's why you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost bears witness that Christ is still living and sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. Live forever, his priesthood lasts forever. I mean, there's no changing of his establishment. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save. He's able. Now, it says he's able, and it's very important to let you know that he's able to do it, but he's not going to forcefully do it. There's something that you must allow. He's able to do it. You know, if you was hanging off a cliff, and I'm strong, and I say, reach your hand up, and you're holding on to the rope, you say, and I say, reach beyond the break. And you got to realize that I'm strong enough to pull you beyond the breaking point. And if you don't have faith in that, then you're a perish because you're holding on to an old rope that's breaking. But when you have faith to end that, I'm able to pull you up, then you can be saved. You can be rescued. And that's the issue. Many are not willing to reach beyond their tradition, their understanding, and grab hold of Jesus' hand only so that he may pull them up. He's saying he's able to do it once and forever to save those who come to God through him. That means you can't go to God no other way but through him. So if you circumvent Christ to think you're going to go to God, the truth of it is the Father points you back to him. You can't circumvent Jesus to get to God. And that's where our faith in Jesus Christ differs from so many others. They think it's multiple roads to God, to the high, to the most high God. No, there's one road. He sent his son to be the door. So if you don't go through the door, then you're entering in like a thief and a robber through a window. And that's going to get you cast out and thrown into utter darkness. Let me keep on moving. This is good. I don't have no more time. All right. My goodness. All right. So okay. So he's able to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. There being those who go to God through him. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless. The other priests, before they can make your atonement, they had to first atone for their own sins. Then they was able to atone for yours. He don't have to do that. He never had to do that. He simply had to atone for ours because he was without. So let me keep on. He has He had been set apart from sinners and had been given the highest position of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice every day. They did this for their sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sin. The law appointed high priests who are limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made a perfect high priest forever. I don't really have time to go through each verse and break it down, so we're going to have to pick this up next week. So meet us back next week to share this text. Amen. To dig into this a little bit more. I'm going to read the King James when we apply this next week. There's some things I really want to point out to us in the text. It is a wonderful thing to read and to see how the Apostle Paul was putting the Jewish people in the right understanding and clarifying all misunderstanding. And so he done a wonderful work. We're at our limited time. Missionary Ken, unmute your mic for me. My screen went down. And if you don't mind, to those that like to continue to help support this station, we want to say, first of all, to those that have already supported this station financially, so they're giving, we want to say thank you. And your gifts are greatly appreciated to help us keep programming going. If you like to give, Mr. Ken is coming to give that announcement and any other announcements that I may be omitting. I want to thank you again for joining with us here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless you. This is the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you as always. I love you with the love of Christ. May God keep you in all that you do and say. Amen. Missionary Ken.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, before I do what you were asking, I wanted to give a few comments myself. It was a great message. And first off, when Abraham, as we find in Genesis 24, that being the companion verse to what you were reading in Hebrews chapter 7, we find that Abraham, when he gave a tenth of the spoils, he did not send someone back to Hebron to get a tenth of what he had there. It was just the spoils, just a point in reference. And then secondly, a lot of tithers preach that you got to give a tenth off your gross. Well, if that be the case, those who own businesses need to remember they don't wait and pay their business expenses first. God would expect them to give a tenth off of everything they earn first and then pay their business expenses, etc. And thirdly, as far as the tithe goes, a good place to learn what the tithe is, what it was supposed to be, who it was supposed to be for, why it was supposed to be for them, and the reason for all of that is a good chapter to read is Numbers chapter 18, because it describes in detail tithe was, who it was for, the reason it was given, and what exactly the tithe was.
Amen. Once again, we're going to visit this more on next week as we go through it step by step, and we're going to see what this text means and who is it talking to, what is it saying. We're going to get into it all the way. And next week, our time is extended. And so, come on, I hear Miss Brother Six there. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Hopefully you have enjoyed the reading on tonight. We simply let the Bible speak.
Okay.
A lot of times, most times, we as oracles, we will press upon people our understanding, and but it's so good to read a text and allow it to speak for itself. The beauty of the Bible is, and we've been criticized for it. They say, you Christians always want to use the Bible to prove the Bible. Well, that's our measuring stick. So we're telling you what it says. And so we're going to use the Bible to prove the Bible because it has proven itself. And that's why we're going to do it on every front. And it doesn't matter who it offends. The Bible will be offense to those that want to put up blockers. But one thing about it is, and I like the one verse in there that I read earlier out of Malachi, he said, prove it. King James said, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord. Prove me. You can't prove me if you don't do what it says. If you do anything different, you can't prove it. That's a fact. You can't prove it. If the only proof to establishing a statement is to follow it out. I can't prove it if I do anything different. If I say this going to happen if you do this and this, then you got to do this and this. You can't do this and that. If you do this and that, then you did not prove it. You contaminate it. And so very important for us as a rule of thumb. I can only prove you by what you say. I can't come and you can't, I can't say, well, Six, I don't think you do recording real good. Well, did you come to my studio? No, but I sent you. No. Did you come to my studio? I told you if you come to the studio, I will give you a master track. You can't send me a track, say make this a master. No, I say come. You got to come. So the only way to prove you to be able to do a mastery of something is to do what you stated to do, and in doing that shall I prove your ability. And that's the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. On any statement God has made, any remark that man has made concerning the Word of God, you can only prove it when you done what he said. Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, if I didn't do it first, then I can't prove it. Then I can't be mad because everything wasn't added to me. I violated. I did not do what he said first. And that's the way people get it twisted. We think that God is a jinn. He is not a jinn. He is not a genie. He is not from the Aladdin lamp.
Uh-huh.
Where we can make three wishes and get what we want. No. He is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. And so it ain't about what I feel. A lot of times people say, man, what you think about that? I was like, I don't have no opinion. This is what God say. Now, whether I'm able to do it or willing to do it or understand the fullness of doing it, if God said it, that settles it. What I'm doing is irrelevant. If God said it, that settles it, period. It's not about where I believe in. See, that's where a lot of people, you got this new age saying, well, it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women. No, the Bible didn't say that. The promise that God made, for this cause shall a man leave both mother, father and mother, own wife. And I can't get mad because my family is in an array because I got baby over here, baby over there, baby over there. I didn't cleave to this one wife. So I didn't build the one family. Too often we don't want to take ownership of the stuff that we messed up. And we got to own what we messed up. And then grace is able to come in and help us straighten up what we messed up. I don't went too long. We are well over time. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
You have all
thank
the time
you all
you need. No apologies needed. No apologies needed. We pay for air time. You have 3 hours if you want to use it. There's no apology needed. You're Kenneth Bonnet. This is your Motivational Monday on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Bills are paid. All you got to do is show up, which you do each and every Monday, 8 Central, 9 Pacific, 6 Pacific.
Amen. If you like to keep programming like this, we have Word of the King, our Braille program, the Talk with Missionary Ken. We got AJ and the squad. We got Six Eyes himself and ATL. So many different programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. If you like to keep these programming going forward, here's some information coming to you that you may be able to contribute as God has given your heart to do.
Yeah, all right.
If you would like to,
go ahead, Six.
If you would like to sow a seed to the Six Eyes Radio Network to help keep us on air bringing you great programming 7 days a week, you have two options. Now, for the PayPal users, that will be PayPal. The email address you'll enter is S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the number 6 at gmail.com. Now, for you Cash App users, that will be $, S as in Sam, I as in Ice, X as in X-Ray, E as in Edward, Y as in Yogurt, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, the digit 2, the digit 4. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you great programming will be greatly appreciated. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, thank you in advance.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, Six, did you have a chance to do what I requested?
Yes, I did. All I got to do is press that send button, and we are good.
Okay, all right. Missionary Ken, we're sending you some things so that we will help support Bible for the Blind. We know that is also a good ministry that God has blessed you and afforded you the opportunity to help those that are sight challenged. Or those that are sight challenged on every level, where they have little sight or no sight, God has put that in your heart to help meet the needs of those, to put Bibles in the hands of those that are physically challenged with their sight one way or the other. You do have a information on that for others that would like to contribute to that program. I would like for you at this time, if you don't mind, give that information. Maybe some of our listeners that's listening think that's a good idea too, and maybe God is touching their heart to contribute a few dollars that God has blessed them to have to sow into helping someone else get a Bible in their hands.
All right. Well, there are several ways you can donate to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. The first is if you got a credit card, you go to our website, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. When you're on the website right there, go down the main page to the bottom where it says Love Offerings. Click that, and you'll be able to use your credit card. The second option is if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. In the box where it asks for the amount of your love gift, just enter that in. And we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. The third option is if you wish to send a check or money order. Send that check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind at P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, that is Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And once again, we at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, that does it. So for myself, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, Ken Wolfgang, Ruthie Wolfgang, Emily Barnum, the rest of the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Princess Nicole is doing much better. So that's a blessing. Pride and joy. Rest of the squad, everyone, ATL, that's everybody. Tim Gruber, everybody that makes up the Six Eyes Radio Network, we do thank you. We want you to have a great and awesome night. Lord, watch over us as we sleep. And tomorrow at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and 7 Central is Word of the King with Tim Gruber. That number is 424-243-9617. Put that number in your phone, everyone, 424-243-9617. For you Android and Apple users, once again, 424-243-9617. And good night from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Take care.
Amen. Good night.
Amen. We're out of here.